Ladies, gentlemen, geeks of all ages, you are now entering BJ Shea's Geek Nation. Welcome.
Yes, welcome to BJ Shea's Geek Nation. I am the Reverend Enfuego. Across from me is Vicky Barcelona.
Hello.
Show's namesake, BJ Shea, is here.
Woo!
And running has to be real, doesn't it?
It must be. And running the boards is Joey Dees.
Hi.
Hello. On today's show, I will talk with Gareth von Kallenbach about Disney Plus and some video games. I will give a non-spoiler review for The Eternals. BJ is going to talk Doctor Who.
Deluxe.
And then also BJ and Joe are going to talk about the Foundation, and we will get to the Geek Sheet with Vicky B. Vicky, how can people get a hold of us?
Get a hold of us via our website, bjgeeknation.com.
.com.
I mean, it's going to have all our blogs, podcasts, and more. Or just search BJ Shea's Geek Nation on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, iTunes, and the Odyssey app.
Yes, so many ways to listen to us. And I want to give a shout out to all of our listeners, whomever you may be out there. Thank you. Thank you for listening to us. We like to talk about nerdy things, and it feels like you like to listen to nerdy things. So I appreciate all of that. Let's get right in with our good friend, Mr. Gareth von Kallenbach. You can find his website at Skewed and Review. That is SKNR.net. We got some information to cover. Gareth von Kallenbach joins us from Skewed and Review. That is SKNR.net. And we need to talk about all sorts of stuff, including video games and what's going on with Tiny Tina.
Tiny Tina, as we all know, has her Wonderlands game coming in early 2022.
Oh, yeah.
And now we got a very interesting little treat dropped on us the other day that the Tiny Tina's Assault on Dragon Keep DLC, which was part of Borderlands 2, is now available as a standalone.
Wow.
So,
and this was the one where it was her playing like basically Dungeons and Dragons, right?
Correct.
Nice.
Correct. And where she would constantly change up the rules or insert all kinds of crazy new things at a twist. And what's really great about that is it's completely free through November 16th.
That's amazing. And you can just get that on the whatever store that you you play your game on, right?
Correct. And that's what's so beautiful about it is, yes, you could say the graphics and gameplay are a bit dated compared to where they are with Borderlands 3. But the point is you can get the narrative adventure that will likely lead into it all set.
That is perfect. That's awesome. And I mean, it's like you said, it's a good way to bridge the story. And at that point, I mean, free is free. You can have some fun with it and play it and continue on. Moving on from that, what is going on with Far Cry 6 at this point?
Okay, so Far Cry 6 has had a successful launch and it's getting ready to have its DLC come out. And the first DLC is coming on November 16th and it involves playing Voss, who was the villain of the very popular Far Cry 3. Oh. And one of the interesting modes they're going for is that you start off with just a pistol and you have to, you know, salvage and scrap and craft up better weapons in order to survive. So I'm kind of wondering if it's kind of like a horde mode with an open world salvage, or it's simply going to be you have various missions to accomplish and you're going to be very limited in your arsenal, and then, you know, that's your incentive to really get in there and work things out.
That's actually kind of cool with that. And I mean, just the fact that it's a callback, and even in regards to what we've just talked about with Tiny Tina, like you can go back and have some fun with some of those older characters that may or may not have anything to do with what they're currently doing.
Correct. And that was one of the big things that Far Cry had talked about, is that you would get to play some of the past characters. They talked about the bad guy from 3, the bad guy from 4, and the bad guy from 5 would be playable DLC characters in specific game modes. So, you know, interesting to see how it all plays out.
Exactly. And then finally on some TV, movie, I mean, just everything news in terms of what Disney really does. Disney Plus Day is coming up.
Yes, so it all starts today. And the great thing about there's going to be stuff rolled out all day long that is going to really, I think, shake things up. So the big rumors are that we're going to get the first trailer for Obi-Wan, and we're going to get another behind-the-scenes look at Andor. Some people have speculated we might see something on The Mandalorian Season 3, although others say that's too early because they've only just started filming. We may get something new on The Book of Boba Fett. And then, of course, You have the arrival of Shang-Chi. You have the arrival of the Jungle Cruise on Disney Plus. There's a new segment. I've seen all of them, and they're quite good, where Olaf and Sven from the Frozen films, along with the Snowman, recreate classic Disney films between them, and they do it in 2 minutes or less. So seeing them do The Lion King and Moana and Beauty and the Beast and things like that is quite hysterical and is going to be very popular. And then there have been a lot of surprises offered, that there'll be stuff for Marvel. There'll be other content brought up. One of the things they've recently announced that really blew people away is that several Marvel films will be available for streaming in the IMAX ratio.
Ooh, wow. I mean, that's going to be a big, big benefit if you've got one of them larger TVs, too.
Correct. So being able to get essentially a 4K IMAX version at home, and then if that wasn't enough, I mean, there's going to be a lot more stuff they haven't even disclosed yet. There is talk that what they're going to do is that AMC Theater is apparently going to have certain screenings, and I believe that there was some talk that they'd either be free or discounted, so you could see various Marvel films and stuff like that. So essentially, you're getting a celebration of all things Disney. You're getting all this new content rolling out. You're going to get a look at what's coming up for Star Wars. You're going to get, and then, you know, the new Marvel stuff. And then some say, well, you're going to get a look at maybe some of the new series that are filming. You're going to get a look at potentially the next movie setups. Who knows? But lots of stuff.
Exactly. And I mean, at this point in time, if you want to get the finger on the pulse as it's happening, you need to go check out Skewed and Reviewed. That is SKNR.net. Lots of information, and I know we'll cover it in future episodes as well, but a really good base of what we've got going on. Thank you so much, Gareth.
Anytime. Take care.
Thank you so much, Gareth. And, well, speaking of Disney, Disney is owned by Ye Old, they own Ye Old Marvel at this point in time. They kind of own everything at this point in time. And last week came out the movie that, I don't know if it was getting reviewed bombed or what, but Marvel's Eternals came out and had a very low Rotten Tomatoes score from the critics. One of the lowest ranked ones, as noted by many, 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 many websites. And so I felt like, well, someone needs to see it. And so I took it upon myself, me and my wife, we went to go and watch this movie. And
oh, did you though?
Yes. Okay. We went to the theater.
The theater.
Well, look at you going out to the theater.
So fancy. Watched it in the Regal has the RPX, so it has the cool sound system and all that stuff.
Oh,
we didn't go full out with like the IMAX screens or anything along those lines or 3D or anything, but did catch it in the theaters. And I have to agree more with the audience score than the critic score. Now, this will be no spoilers, so you don't have to worry about all of that. But at the base, this is a movie about 10 characters you really don't know anything about, and you're trying to learn as you go along, while being something that's spread across over 7,000 years in terms of, like, yeah.
Wow. They're telling that story? All that amount of time is being covered?
Yes. And, I mean, obviously, they're going back and forth, and they're just trying to do snippets of it as they're showing it, as they're going along. And a lot of take place in present time in the Marvel universe, so it's after the snap and the blip and everything happens. And I can't really give a whole lot of explanation as to why they were still around or why they hadn't even bothered dealing with the whole Thanos thing.
Well, actually, you can. I think that I don't know if you've seen trailers. The trailers have given that explanation, unless you have a different
one. It's much more involved.
And than what they said?
Yes.
In the trailers?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So they do address it, and even in the trailers, they do address it a little bit, but it gets a lot deeper into why they don't actually stop Thanos and the Black Order from...
Is it the Prime Directive? Because everyone seems to have a Prime... It's always from Star Trek and the Prime Directive.
I feel like
that's what it is, right? It's always a Prime Directive, you know?
It's a bit of that, and it really...
Is it the Watcher? Because he doesn't interfere either, you know?
Well, it's definitely not the Watcher.
God dang it.
And I'll let you know at this point in time, the Watcher makes no appearance in this at all.
Oh, for criminy.
So you don't have to worry about multiverses or anything along those lines. It's its own standalone movie, but I think the one thing that really people aren't necessarily getting when it comes down to this movie is that... while it is a Marvel movie, while it is a superhero movie, by and large, this is a love story.
Wow, so, that is not something I would get at all from this.
And it, they do have fight scenes, and they do battle against the Deviants.
I'm not going to ask, but I think I know who the love story is about.
Well, it makes sense now. It totally makes sense. I know who you're thinking of, too.
There's a few reference, moments where you're like, okay, is this sexual tension or is it just regular war tension? I don't know.
Well, there's one person in the movie who's not an Eternal, and he's a pretty amazing actor. And my brain was like, what the hell is he? Just going to stand by and watch somebody kick something? And now it makes sense. I'm sure it's our boy, Jon Snow, is first half of the love story. If he's not part of the love story, I'll be shocked.
I love this.
I don't know what it is. This is just me speculating. I haven't gotten to see it yet. But I think it's Angelina Jolie. She probably did it with one of the baddies and then produced a child.
I love all of this because your expectations are not going to be met when you talk about those sort of things.
Oh, wow. So Jon Snow is not like
Jon
the love
Snow
story guy?
Jon Snow is in the movie, and he does have a relationship with one of the Eternals, and that's where I'll leave that storyline at. The thing is everything is connected, and when you look at it in terms of, it's so hard to kind of explain in that sort of aspect without getting into like the real nuts and bolts of this. It's a longer movie. It's over 2 hours long. I think maybe over 2.5 hours
long. Well, we know that with Marvel movies. We've seen that happen.
2 hours and 37 minutes.
Yeah.
After credit scenes, how many?
There are two.
Okay.
And they really do kind of lead into the future of the MCU, but for the most part for this movie, it really doesn't necessarily address the giant galaxy at large in terms of like what we've been used to recently with the multiverse. It does address a lot of the cosmic stuff, and obviously you know that there's a celestial in it because they've teased that as much as they can possibly in the trailers as well.
And since we are talking no spoilers,
mm-hmm.
from a scale of 1 to 10, what would you rate it?
I would rate it probably about a solid 7.
Okay.
I did like the story. It made me kind of think a little bit harder. When I first watched the movie and got done with it, it was kind of like, okay, that's a movie. I've seen it. I don't necessarily think I need to see it again.
Ooh, that's not a good sign for a Marvel movie.
Right?
It's a very long one, though, too.
But then...
Yeah, but the Endgame was... How long was Endgame? How long? I mean, that wasn't that close
it
to
was
237?
It was a little bit longer than I think that as well.
Yeah.
But so that was a culmination of like 10 years, 22 movies.
Right.
And that's what I mean. The length is not going to stop the rewatch of a movie. My point being is that we all watch Endgame again. The rewatch of a movie is it a good movie? It's not about
like
the time.
It's hard to put Endgame in that category because Endgame is, like Rev was saying, it was a long special movie. Yeah, it was a very long movie, but it is the culmination of how many plus years and how many plus movies. And I would love to watch it again, but I don't want to cry, so I have not. I've only seen it once. Like, my heart cannot take it. I cannot rewatch it.
My point is, the length of a movie does not make it a bad movie. Granted, bad editing sometimes where you go, wow, that did not have to be that long. Like with Lord of the Rings, you know, we don't need to see Frodo on the boat for 2 hours.
He's on a boat.
Yeah, you know, we don't need to see that, but... You know, there are movies that are long that are good, but this one here, if you don't want to watch it again, maybe editing is part of it, or maybe it's even more than that, Rev. You're the one that saw it.
And the when it comes down to it, after, like, when I first saw it, I was kind of like, okay, the first reaction. And then I started thinking about it a little bit more. So it's one of those ones where if you have a question, try to think about whether or not that question was answered in the movie. And by and large, everything really did get answered within the movie itself. Like, all the things that were put up did that. And so looking back on it, I feel I do want to go watch it again with the knowledge that I have now. But it's not going to be one of those that I need to watch over and over and over again. The scenery is absolutely beautiful.
Okay, so worth watching in the theaters and not be like me with Shang-Chi who waited and now it's on today on Disney Plus.
Congratulations, you can watch it now, but I still felt that Shang-Chi should also be seen in the theaters. But yeah, like I feel that if you are a fan of the director Chloe Zhao, who did Nomadland as well.
That's a big point you brought up.
Yeah.
Not somebody you would think that would do a Marvel movie. I wouldn't call it a red flag, but As a fan of the Marvel movies, that director shocked me because I thought, this is not somebody that does movies the way Marvel does it. Doesn't mean that Chloe can't make a great movie. It's just that I have expectations, especially when, of course, the marketing cuts up the, you know, the trailers the way they do. And basically, the trailers lie about what this movie is. And that sucks. It sucks for the director. It sucks for the fans.
But
I get that they're trying to make money. But as a Marvel fan now, we're at a point where I think I need to really do my homework so that I don't go in and get disappointed, because Marvel's not always going to give me what I thought that Marvel was going
to
give me.
And that's kind of a really good point when you break down to it, too, because you've seen, obviously, Phase 1 through 3 really gave you kind of an expectation that Phase 4 is not doing a lot of the times. And it doesn't mean that it's bad. It's just it's kind of circumventing expectations to do something a little bit different. And
so far, if Marvel's Phase 4 movies or stuff has been The Eternals, has been Shang-Chi.
Mm-hmm.
And I know we got all the TV shows from Captain America and the Winter Soldier now.
Yep.
WandaVision, Loki, What If.
Yeah.
So I feel like they might just be like, hey, you know what? Oh, and Black Widow. That's the one I was forgetting. They're just like, maybe I'm curious. I have more of an open mind because I feel like they're just going to be throwing things out the window. Like,
and that's the one thing, too, is like looking at it at this point in time, just kind of like take the Infinity Saga, put it like to the side and just kind of let this one breathe. And like I said, this is a fine romance movie.
Yeah, that's the thing. Who's going to see a romance movie? I mean, a lot
of people.
Me and my wife. So I kind of got some points on that one.
A lot of people. But my brain is like, as beautiful as anything is on the screen. And look, there's a lot of beautiful movies out there.
Yeah.
My brain is like, I will wait for this to come to Disney Plus. I don't know if I'm going to rush out to see The Eternals when I own Disney Plus. It's sort of like I make an investment every month in that. If it's a romance and it's going to be a different kind of Marvel movie, maybe I don't need to go see it on the big screen. That's the issue. And especially when the critics are just like, because critics are not big Marvel fans. Critics are just good movie fans. And how good of a romantic movie is this? We give it a lot of love because we love Marvel.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you're talking about a romance movie, that's what gets me, is the critics did not think it was a great romance movie. That's the thing that gets me, is there's probably a lot of better romance movies out there.
But also remember, looking at the audience score, is a lot higher on Rotten
Marvel
Tomatoes.
Marvel fans,
yes,
who will give it a lot more love, just like I give stuff. Like, I give a lot of stuff love because I'm a fan of whatever the genre is. That doesn't necessarily mean it's a great movie, and I've talked about that with Endgame.
Yeah.
Endgame is not a great movie unless you're a Marvel fan who went through the 10 years of going, oh my God.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's not a great movie. And I think that could be the case for The Eternals.
And I'm curious to see how this love story plays out, because one of the things that I don't like about when it comes to quote unquote action movies is when you get all the fun action, you get the tough guy, everything, and then they force feed you this love story because the people making the movies are thinking, okay, well, this guy's probably going to bring his girlfriend who doesn't want to see this movie, so let's give her something.
And it's more than that.
Okay, and that's good to know.
Yeah, it is more than that. But also at the same point, like,
it could have been better.
There will be questions that'll have to be asked. And I mean, with Joe,
Joey Deez and I are already going, we get you. You get your movies too, Vicky, but we'll wait for this on.
That's totally valid.
And it cracks me up just because I know it's like the second Joe watches this, he's going to be like, bro. And I'm going to have to do the same thing I did with my wife, was kind of like, you kind of have to like bridge some of the things yourself.
Now I want to watch it just so Joey can come in and give you the look.
So, I mean, take that with however which you will. I didn't feel like I was pissed, like leaving the movie theater. I didn't feel like I needed my money back. And then again, thinking a little bit more on it, I felt that it's a worthwhile movie to see again, just to kind of see how everything plays out and if it actually works the way I think it works or it's supposed to.
Eternals.
Yeah, exactly. The Eternals.
A movie that Rev said he'd see again, maybe.
Right.
It's a romance. If you like action.
If people have seen it and want to talk about it, shoot me a message and we can talk spoilers. And maybe we'll get into a little bit later, but also at the same point, like, I don't necessarily think this really needs a full-on spectacular. The bonus scenes really do open up some insane stuff for the universe, multiverse at large. But
watch the bonus scenes.
You can probably just find the spoilers online. Yeah.
Oh, I already know one of them. And
yeah.
I'm still excited to see it, but I'm like, oh.
Yeah,
I don't think Vicky's going to see it in the movie theater. I'm betting she will not.
I'm betting the three of you will not.
You know why?
Vicky's the only one that's talking the game like, oh, I would like to see this movie, but I don't think she will.
You know why? Because I had a movie going buddy, like, He was my, he loved going to movies and still does. And we would go, we would discuss it and have all these things.
I forgot the new laws. You can't go to a movie by yourself anymore. I forgot those laws.
But this mother ever got a girlfriend, and so we can't watch movies together, and I feel like it's broken.
If you and him went to a romance movie together, that might cause some problems.
You're crossing the line.
But you could go yourself and love yourself. Isn't that today's modern human being?
Didn't Pee Wee Herman get arrested for that?
Whoa, okay.
Well, I didn't mean it that way.
Moving on from that.
Again, it's a romance movie. It's not porn.
Yeah. Yeah, let's talk some let's talk some television instead now. BJ, we had talked recently that Doctor Who was coming out with Doctor Who Flux, which is the new season but shortened into like a series sort of thing.
Yeah, it's really the new season episodes are longer, but they're only going to be 6 episodes. This is the swan song for Chris Chibnall, the showrunner, and also Jodie Whittaker, who is the doctor, first female doctor there's been. So this is it. They're done. It's already been announced that Russell T. Davies will be taking over the show in 2023-ish, I believe.
Damn.
I think it's 2023, or maybe it's next year. I can't remember. My brain. But it started. It's on BBC America, and the first 2 episodes have dropped. And look, like any sort of, this is a major story arc that will go over tons of episodes. Anybody that knows like Star Trek Discovery or Picard, you realize that there are basically episodes within episodes. Yes, there's the faint theme of the arc, but it's really a standalone episode, which is why I always laugh at people that go, why can't Star Trek have standalone episodes? And I'm like, well, they kind of do. They just go, well, we're on our way to stop this big problem. And then what they're doing really could have been a standalone episode, really. And that's what this episode 2 was, chapter 2, The War of the Centaurans. And the Centaurans are basically the Doctor Who Klingons, so it's always cool to see these warring idiots who just love to war, but they also have this weakness where if you hit them in the back of the head, they just are like they fall down and they're dead. it's hysterical. But in Doctor Who fashion, I have to say they're going all out. I mean, the special effects and the story is just amazing. And this is a great episode with the fact you get to see all these just ridiculous spaceships and all of these troops marching everywhere. The CGI, if that's what it is really good because it looks like there's just hundreds of thousands of these guys everywhere.
Damn.
And, they're invading Earth's history, which is kind of cool, as the Centaurans have decided we're going to go to war with every war humanity ever had, which is like, wow.
Whoa.
You know, if you're a warlike race, they're like, you know what? We're going to be the guys you fight rather than like the Russians in the Crimean War. So the Brits don't go against Russia. They go against Centaur. And they've inserted themselves, and that's their whole idea, is to insert themselves Centaur in every major war in Earth history. And they're going to be probably that they want to be the Nazis, and they just want to be every bad guy. And, that plan doesn't quite go the way the Centaurans want it, because when you got a pacifistic, hero of the show, and that would be the Doctor, you know, that's not going to go. But a really good episode, and I love the new companion, and played by John Bishop. His name is Dan, and he's kind of an idiot. I mean, he's really a clueless idiot. Normally, she doesn't, the Doctor doesn't recruit stupid people, but it looks like in this particular instance, Dan is, Dan does not have a brain in his head. Now, he still gets stuff done. He's brave, but boy, like he just doesn't seem to be bright to me. And I'm getting a kick out of the fact that he's not the brightest. He's not the brightest guy.
So sad.
And it is. It's very unusual for a Doctor Who companion, because part of the reason why the Doctor latches onto humans is they are exceptionally bright. Sometimes they don't seem like they're bright. Like Rose Tyler, just working in a regular retail establishment, she didn't seem like she was bright, but the more you interacted with her, you realize she's actually quite a bright individual. This guy, the more people interact with him, it makes me feel like, I don't know, he doesn't, and we don't know much about his backstory. He seems like a nice guy, but he just doesn't seem bright.
That's amazing.
I get a kick out of it. Maybe his intelligence will manifest or whatever as the time goes on, but we'll see. Or, contrasted with the other companion, Yaz, and also with the Doctor. But anyway, they're fun. It's on BBC America. Check it out. And there's 4 episodes left, man.
Wow.
I think that'll be it. Maybe there'll be a holiday episode, and maybe that might be the last one with Jodie Whittaker. But I haven't heard much about a new Doctor. Usually you do when the Doctor is about to regenerate. but there hasn't been any talk. So I don't even know if we're going to see a regeneration scene at the end of this or at the or at a holiday episode. You know, that this is very bizarre, knowing that this is she's pretty much said this is it, but we haven't had the announcement of a new doctor yet. So you can't regenerate. You really can't regenerate into somebody new if there's nobody we know, unless they've decided not to make a big deal and maybe make it a surprise. Now, again, I haven't heard anything. That doesn't mean stuff isn't out there, because I don't completely pay attention to the internet. So, but you know, I mean, but you figure this news would be out there if there was a new doctor.
Yeah, I haven't seen anything, just quickly searching for it. So maybe it's the best kept secret in the UK.
Wouldn't that be amazing if they decided to go down that road and not give you the pomp and circumstance like they've done for the last couple of doctors?
That'd be amazing. Moving on from that quickly, Joe, you and your dad, BJ, are still watching The Foundation, correct?
Yes.
Yes, and I got a preview of Joe's opinion for today when we took him to his birthday dinner. As the missing piece was the last episode we watched. We know there's a new episode that's already been out, but we don't like to spoil it, since it's relative. You know, it's only been out for less than a week. Well, actually, I would be a week of today, but you know, we give you the week behind.
Yeah.
So this is the missing piece, which was on a week ago, and I like the episode, but Joe, series is still not doing it for you, huh?
Yeah, it's the same thing there, you know, week after week.
The roller coaster.
The storyline of the brothers is great. The other two storylines I could go without.
And I was just looking at the episode directed by Roxanne Dawson, who, if I'm not mistaken, played the Klingon in... Star Trek Voyager, and B'Elanna Torres. If I think that's the same actor who's now a director.
Yeah.
I think I know that B'Elanna became a director.
God, you and just the weird random Star Trek information.
Yeah,
absolutely, 100%.
Yeah, so how cool Roxanne is directing some of this stuff, because this is epic stuff. I mean, this was not an easy episode to direct, because he was in the desert, like the Empire dude, Brother Day. He was walking around the desert for a long part of this episode, and how about that's the one she directed? Not bad.
That's amazing. Jeez. Wow. So you're still all in on it. I love that. Joe, I mean, like I've been saying the whole time, it's like I feel that Joe can give us a full realization of how he feels about it once the season ends. And until then, it's going to be, yeah, I like this one and I hate this one. I like this one and I hate this one.
Yeah, we got two episodes left. We'll see how they wrap it up. All I know is that Gail's storyline is she's back in an escape pod for another 138 years.
Yeah, I know. I'm with Joe on this. I mean, again, great. We thought they give us the character who I really like this character. Then they kick her in an escape pod and you're like, oh, I guess, well, I don't know when she'll ever come back. Maybe sometime. Then she comes back and you go, sweet, just for her to go, I'm leaving. Again, and you're like,
peace out.
138 years, okay. And then it makes me think, well, if it's 138 years, how does the other main character, how is that? Because they don't have long lives, you know. They you know, that's the only reason she lasted was because of suspended animation. So we're like, well then what does that mean? I mean, so I don't know. This is definitely an epic, and I forget the book, so I guess we shouldn't get attached to anybody. But unlike Game of Thrones, they don't kill everybody off just for the sake of killing everybody off. They die of natural causes, a lot of these people, because they keep
old age, 130 years, good God.
Yeah, you know, I mean, they go, well, we're now 130 years. Well, I guess that person just died. What happened to them? Oh, they just died.
They wasn't died like of a lack of screen time.
Aww. Yeah,
that's what happened in this show.
Well, now it is time to get to...
The Geek Sheet with Vicky B.
All right, Vicky. I mean, it's Friday. I have to assume we've got movies.
Yeah, a movie that everyone in this room has been waiting for.
Which one?
I'm just kidding. Clifford the Big Red Dog.
Oh!
I'm not waiting for that.
Hey, but if you didn't grow up reading Clifford the Big Red Dog, I'm sorry for your childhood. I love those books. I think I still do.
I very much love them, to the point where on the back of those books, they had each book they had. And I would sit in the library. I'm like, read it. Ooh, haven't read this one yet. But we didn't have it in the library, so I couldn't.
Aww.
Like, I think my favorite one was the Valentine's Day one. But there's something about these types of movies that don't hit the same for me. Like, I think it's going to be cool. If you have kids, definitely check it out.
Yeah.
Tomato meter is 49%. However, audience score is 94%.
Which I think that kind of makes sense. I mean, it's going to be, for all intents and purposes, a cheesy children's
movie.
When I saw Eternals, it did have the preview for Clifford. So I was like, all right, that's fun. I mean, and that might be really all that I need out of it. But I don't have little kids, so.
Honestly, I think... Because I was thinking, what other childhood books have they turned into movies within the last 5-10 years? And I was thinking Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs. But if you ever read that, I love that book as a kid. Nothing like the movie.
I guess that kind of makes sense in terms of, like, you can have a little bit more, I guess, plot when it comes down to going from a children's book to a movie.
Like there was no scientist involved or anything like that. They just lived in a land where it rained food, and that's just how it was.
Just accept it, yeah.
And they had to move once it just, like, the weather got real bad. So they all made, like, ships and stuff out of bread and, like, floated on off where it didn't rain food. And I just, it was, you know, cool. But I really think they need to make a Stinky Cheese Man book.
Run as fast as you can. You can't catch me. I'm the Stinky Cheese Man. Guess what? No one chased him.
That's a classic.
It is. No, but then, spoiler alert, the fox ate him.
That fox.
Wow, thanks. No sense in making the movie now.
Done now.
Side note, that is like a fever dream of a book. Because I've tried, I wanted to buy it. And I couldn't find it for the life of me.
You just like thought maybe it didn't exist.
Exactly.
And you just thought it up.
Yeah, because I would.
It seems like something that would come from your brain, actually.
Right. It was just a collection of if Tim Burton made children's stories.
Mm-hmm.
Like they had the Stinky Cheese Man. You had all these other ones. It was really weird. So again, fever dream.
Are there any other movies coming out this week?
Not any worth really noting. There is one. It looks like it came out in 2019. But it didn't really get that much attention, so I'm wondering if it came out in limited release and now it's trying to do a bigger release. But the reason why it was very hard for me to find any information about this movie is because if you type in movie with the title of this, it's not going to give you the right movie.
Oh.
This is called Multiverse.
Oh.
It's a very unfortunate name because you're going to get overshadowed with Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness.
Exactly.
I had to do a little digging. Like, this looked interesting. It's like a mystery sci-fi thriller.
Okay, I'm in.
And basically, it's like colleagues Loretta, Danny, Amy, and Jerry are on the verge of an amazing breakthrough in quantum physics when tragedy strikes.
Dun, dun, dun.
Racing to compete the experiment, Loretta dies in a fiery car accident. 5 months.
Is this coming out for TV or is it only in the theater? What's going on?
It's so hard to find. I went and looked and I tried to click on different things and it wasn't. It doesn't tell me. It's been kind of tricky.
Oh.
But the idea is 5 months later, as the trio struggle to move on with their lives and the work they started, Loretta returns.
Dun, dun, dun.
She's full of energy, enthusiasm, and seemingly unaware she's been gone for months. Are they losing their minds or has something remarkable happened?
Quantum physics.
Soon each of them comes face to face with their dead ringer. Professional rivalries and personal relationships surface, and the friends realize only one version of them can exist in our reality.
Oh, did the WB make this? I'm starting to wonder. Did the C-Dub make this?
I've done a little bit of research, too. It's out of Canada, and it's a very limited release this month, or this week, and it looks like maybe on the 16th that it's going out on VOD, so... Eventually, it might end up on an Amazon or something.
Netflix.
Yeah, but yeah, it's also called Entangled. So one or the other, you might be able to find it on that.
Well, that's really great when you're putting out a movie. Give it a couple of different names.
You know what I think it was? It's they did Multiverse, and then they realized Marvel is going to basically own that for the next forever, and they gave it a different name, kind of like what they did with that Tom Cruise movie, Edge of Tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. It was supposed to be Kill, Die, Repeat?
Something like that.
Yeah.
So it makes sense why they would change it because, I can't find anything of your stuff because Marvel. Another movie that is coming out, it's called Night Raiders. It is so far on the tomato meter with 31 reviews, 90%.
Oh, okay.
It's a mystery thriller drama, and it's the year 2043.
Okay, so it's sci-fi.
A military occupation controls disenfranchised cities in a post-war North America. Children are property of the state, and despite Cree women join an A desperate Cree woman joins an underground band of vigilantes to infiltrate a state's children academy to get her daughter back. Night Raiders is a female-driven dystopian drama about resilience, courage, and love.
All right, then. Yeah. How about this? It probably just as happy as The Handmaid's Tale.
I mean, right? The cast looks pretty relatively unknown, but it looks like it does have a Native woman as the lead, which I think is pretty cool. The only actress that I recognize is Amanda Plummer, who you may remember as Honey Bunny in Pulp Fiction.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
She was also in one of the Hunger Games or two of the Hunger Games movies.
Okay.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, so there's a couple of options kind of in that. There's also one called Apex. It has Bruce Willis in it. It looks... I'm just looking at the poster. It looks like...
That's not the one that BJ reviewed a while back, is it?
No.
I feel like he's doing these movies to keep his insurance.
Yeah.
Like, this is what this movie poster looks like to me.
Yeah, this is...
I have a bunch of kids. I need the insurance.
He looks like a confused old man. What am I doing? All right, fine.
All right. Well, until next time, guys, stay nerdy.